You're listening to The Stressless Life with Dr. Yip, a podcast about conquering your fears and overcoming anxiety. A question for the day is, helicopter parenting, pros and cons. I'm your host, Noah Larracy. Let's say hello to Dr. Yip.
Hi, Noah.
Dr. Yip is a licensed psychologist who's board certified in behavioral and cognitive therapy and an expert in the treatment of anxiety and OCD. Today we're going to talk about helicopter parenting, which we talked about a little bit in the previous episode on parenting.
Yes, we are. So first, let's define what helicopter parenting is. And, you know, this is a relatively recent term that's been floating around. And I want to make sure that the audience have a grasp of what that even means. So, Noah, what is your understanding of what helicopter parenting is?
My conception is that helicopter parent is one who hovers over their child like a helicopter, kind of monitoring their every move, scheduling their day, not giving them a lot of free time, constantly watching them and monitoring them just to make sure things are running smoothly, on time, and without any form of danger or interruption.
Yes, and this can be a problem when it is applied, practiced extensively.
So what defines extensively?
Well, you know, when we talked last week about parenting and the different phases that a child goes through, the developmental phases, we have to remember that, again, when your child is in the toddler years, your goal is to support and nurture. However, during the grade school years, before adolescence, your goal is to guide and control. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean helicopter or helicoptering around your children. More importantly, during the adolescent years, your goal is to provide responsibility and teach independence. So during the adolescent years, helicoptering definitely is not going to be a beneficial method.
Early on, when the child is maybe 0 to 5 years old, helicoptering makes sense because they could, you know, stick their finger in the light socket,
or
all sorts of things could happen. So you actually, helicopter parenting in that case is probably the appropriate choice.
Sure, yes. Your goal is to nurture and support and make sure that these little human beings don't go and hurt themselves, which they can easily do at that point in life because they haven't learned what is safe and what isn't safe to do yet.
If you don't helicopter at that age, it can almost be considered negligent, right?
Absolutely.
At what age, then, is it appropriate to kind of start pulling back a little bit from this constant observing of your child?
Well, observing your child, there's nothing wrong with observing your child, right? Because again, what we talked about in the last episode is that it's important for you to observe your child, especially with that insightful, critical eye so that you understand your child's behaviors. However, interfering with your child is what really helicoptering parents do. So how do they interfere? Well, they basically interfere by determining who the child's play dates are, who the child will be friends with, what activities the child will engage in, who the child will interact with, what the child will do, won't do, basically everything that the child would do on their own, the helicopter parent takes that away.
But there are bullies out there, they're potential predators, there are also kids who just don't like. I mean, isn't a parent's job to help the kid in those situations and keep those people away?
Yes, it is your job to protect your child. It's also your job to prepare your child for reality. And in the real world, we don't have parents following us around, protecting us, helping us, getting us out of trouble, at least not functioning adult.
Let's give an example then of what would be the maladaptive helicopter parenting for a child who's, let's say, 7 or 8 years old. What would be a good example of this?
So let's take an example. And let's say Jill comes home one day and says, "Mommy, there's this bully at school, and she's really, really mean to me. And let's say Jill is 5 years old, okay? And what Jill's mom does is mom goes and talks with the school teachers, mom goes and talks with the school counselor, mom talks with the school psychologist, mom goes and talks with the principal, mom goes and talks with the bully, him or herself, and mom goes and talks with the bully's mom. Now, on the outside, this might seem like appropriate behavior because mom is being protective of Jill. However, a more effective approach would be if mom goes and asks the teacher what they've observed. If mom goes and talks with the bully's mother and see if she's observed anything. For mom to get kind of a behind-the-scene eye on what actually happened, so mom can be informed of what this interaction really was. And then for mom to teach Jill how to respond in such situations, so Jill learns how to interact, how to resolve such problematic situations in the beginning.
Sounds like helicopter parents have the best of intentions, don't they?
Oh, yes, they do. They're loving, invested, and committed parents.
But it sounds like you're saying that those instincts, while good, can also harm the child if overdone.
It can backfire because essentially what happens is you're taking away that learning from the child. You're teaching the child that, hey, you don't need to do anything because mommy will fill in all the time and mommy will resolve the situation for you. So when that happens time and time again, what does the child learn?
Mommy's going to take care of things. I don't have to do it.
Exactly. Mommy will take care of things. And how will the child learn to be resilient? And when adolescents come, when the goal is to teach independence and responsibility, how will that adolescent learn to be independent and responsible, or even be prepared to be independent and responsible when all his or her life, mom has done it for me?
Where do you think these parents learned that this was the sort of right way to parent, or this was a good way to parent?
I actually have no idea. You know, the first time that I've heard something similar actually happened with a school. And it was this location where the schools would not allow kids to have best friends. And the idea is, if kids don't have best friends, then they don't form cliques and they won't exclude other kids from the group, and it reduces bullying. However, that is not how the real world functions. In the real world, we do have best friends. We have people that we like. We have people that we do not like. We have people that we prefer to hang out with, that we prefer to get to know. And that's what real life is about. So the first time I actually heard about this, I was shocked that the school would even intervene in such circumstances, which actually halts a child's emotional development.
It's a possibility that some helicopter parents had parents who themselves were maybe a little more disciplinarian, a little stricter, or maybe weren't as present emotionally, so that then they feel that they need to try it a different way for their kids. What would you say to them?
I would definitely say that many of helicopter parents, their goal is to ensure that their child is happy. And there's another word that I actually despise, happiness, because happiness is not representative of reality. So we have parents who want their children to be happy, and the goal is just to do anything and everything possible to ensure that their child is happy and don't experience any discomfort, which isn't representative of the real world either. It's natural to experience discomfort because life is about challenges. Life comes with challenges whether you like it or not. And if you aren't prepared to experience the discomforts with all of the obstacles of life, then you're not prepared for life. And this is what's happening with our current generation. We are actually breeding a society of victimhood, narcissistic, self-entitled children because they don't, or they can't, tolerate discomfort.
I'm sure listeners are now saying, whoa, Dr. Yip, I was with you the first 10 episodes or 9.5 episodes, but now you're suggesting that I shouldn't be trying to make my child happy. But I want my child to have a nice childhood, a nice, happy childhood. How dare you say this? This is so harsh. This is mean.
Well, is it? Or is it more mean to try to instill something in the person's life that isn't realistic, that the child isn't actually going to achieve? Think of it this way. Happiness is a problem to our society. Everyone is trying to achieve happiness. And what are they doing to achieve happiness? They escape discomfort. This is where drugs and alcohol come into place, addiction, even compulsive buying. Our media shows us, hey, if we want to be happy, we've got to go and get that next new iPhone. And 4 months later, hey, if you want to be happy, you got to get that next new iPhone. So we are a consumer society who is always looking to achieve happiness by these means that aren't realistic. In so many countries that are less industrialized, their happiness level is actually a lot higher than those of us in more industrialized societies. So why is that? Why is it that when you have less, you're more happy? Or if I could encourage a different word, I would use the word content. Content is what we want to strive for. Content doesn't involve happiness. Happiness, it's almost like you're putting something on a pedestal that you're trying to achieve, and you might achieve it momentarily. However, it's temporary. And then you gotta go get your next fix to achieve that happiness that's on this pedestal. So trying to achieve and maintain happiness is unrealistic and irrational when we're taking reality into consideration, because life is not about just happiness. Life is about challenges and obstacles. It's about being able to overcome those challenges to achieve satisfaction. The satisfaction comes from our ability to overcome difficult things so that we feel good that we can achieve difficult things, that we can get over difficult things. And that's how we gain that sense of self and that self-confidence, not by happiness.
So the goal is not happiness. So the goal is then to become content?
Content.
How would this actually work in terms of parenting? Would you then not give your kids rewards, no ice cream for your kids? We're only going to work on being content.
Well, working on being content means instilling a sense of self, instilling values, instilling an attitude that I can achieve by putting effort into something. And putting effort into something means that mommy or daddy are not involved, because if they're the ones involved, then I don't need to put in effort. So essentially, what extreme helicopter parenting does is it takes the effort away from children that they can put in very much on their own to achieve that sense of self, to achieve that confidence and that belief that I am valuable, that I am worthy, that I can be something, that I can be someone, that I can be content from what I do, not from what my parents do for me.
One objection to this could be that parents say, if I just love my kid, my kid's then going to love him or herself. And then when he's 18 or whatever, he'll be able to go into the world. And because he loves himself and he feels loved, that he'll be able to overcome any obstacle.
Oh, wow. That is some delusional BS right there.
I'm here to happy to provide it.
Wow. Your primary goal as parents is not just about love. Loving a child does not mean that I'm going to give little Johnny whatever he wants, whatever he desires, because that shows my love. No. Loving your child means doing what's difficult for the sake of the child, so that you are preparing the child for the real world. And the real world, I'm sorry to disappoint, it's not about love and everything is fine and dandy and fluffy and beautiful. No, that's not the real world. That's a delusional world. The real world is about challenges and difficulties and obstacles and disappointments. And how are you going to provide or prepare your child to be ready for that, for those disappointments, with just love?
But what about the danger that if I don't monitor my kid and keep an eye on him or her, then he could end up being traumatized by some event that he's unable to handle that I was not there to protect them from?
There's another word that I despise, traumatized. Really? Traumatized? Okay, first of all, how do you know that your child will be traumatized? And how do you know that your child won't have the skills to handle what's to come? If you're interfering all the time, you're never providing the opportunity for your child to test him or herself, to see if he or she has the skills to manage any challenge, to manage difficulties, to manage these obstacles. So traumatized, that's a pretty heavy word. And we've become this society where everyone is traumatized. Everything is traumatic. And are we really going to go there? Because if we are, we're breeding a lot of weak mental attitudes.
It sounds like you're saying that some of the young people today who are very easily traumatized, it's due...
There's that word again.
who feel that they're easily traumatized, it's due to overparenting?
It could be. It could also be that they've been taught that they're traumatized. You know, this is another thing. I've had many patients who come and say their previous therapist told them that they've been traumatized, that they must have experienced some sort of trauma, which is why they're experiencing the current fear that they do. And again, I call that sometimes BS too, because how you experience fear relates a big portion on the neurochemicals in your brain and how you perceive your environment and your resiliency factor and what you've learned you're capable or incapable of. There are so many factors that go into fear that trauma is not the only contributing factor.
So let's say I listen to this podcast and I say, all right, I don't want to be a helicopter parent anymore. I get it. I want my kid to develop resiliency. What do I do? Why do I start right away? Do I just immediately stop helping them out, stop doing things?
No,
do I drop everything?
No. I'm not saying to be completely hands-off either. No. Yes, your job is to be supportive, nurturing during the infancy years, during the early toddler years, then it's guidance and control. What that means is that you set what the rules are. You set what the standards are, because your job is to parent, not to be your child's best friend, which a lot of today's parents believe they are. So as a parent, your job is to provide the structure for your child to feel stable and safe and secure. Providing that structure means letting the child understand what are the rules, what's okay, what's not okay. It also means guiding them in the direction, whatever path they choose. So it doesn't mean, hey, little Johnny, I want you to do soccer and piano and IT camp and all of these things because that's what's going to make you happy. No, it's asking Johnny, what do you want to do? And Johnny will pick. And let's say Johnny picks soccer. And after two soccer practices, Johnny says, Mommy, I hate it. I want to quit. You might at that point say, okay, Johnny, you can quit. However, if you allow that, then what you're teaching Johnny is that quitting is okay. Or you might say beforehand, okay, Johnny, we're going to do soccer. However, you have to make a commitment for the entire season. That if you're going to play soccer, you have to give it enough time to test out whether you actually like it or not. That is providing structure, guidance, and control for your child. The helicopter parent would say, okay, you can quit. Want to do this next thing? okay, how about this next thing? And that's not what you want to do.
In closing here, what about a parent that says, Dr. Yip, I hear you. I just don't want my kid to end up being screwed up.
Isn't that the paradox, right? You do not want your child to fail, to not succeed. However, by interfering with your child's capacity for your child's ability, you're actually interfering and not allowing your child to thrive. So just trust that your child will have the skills and that it doesn't have to involve you in every step of the way. That if you take a step back, you will actually allow your child the opportunity to grow and thrive. And that's what all this is about. It's about preparing your child for the real future to come so that he or she will evolve, grow, and thrive. And if she is or he is to grow and evolve and thrive, that has to happen without your interference into that child's effort.
Great. Thanks so much. Thank you for listening to the Stressless Life podcast. You can join the discussion and find more information at www.dryip.com/thestresslesslife. Please write to us with questions and comments at thestresslesslife@dryip.com. Until next time, stay stressless.